Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, 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 better late than never. Working out the coinky dink. Thank you. And here we are on the wire, Bud Justice and Friends going to hop right to it and bring in the M-Scale crew. How we doing, gentlemen?
Doing outstanding.
Howdy.
Hey, all right. Well, we finally made it. What we're doing here is integrating the conference features of the Skype Live Wire to integrate with the Blog Talk Radio, which is a dynamite utility, but it's not a perfect utility. And we had such an influx of interest that there wasn't a bandwidth big enough to incorporate you all. So we've recalibrated the switchboard, and now we have an open-ended architecture of understanding. And in come the MCO and Ways and Means.
Definitely. We are honored to break the internet.
That's right. That's right. And it's going to have to be an intranet of a Planet Art Network, a patient advocate network. Hey, I know you've got your viewer activated, Troy. I'm going to open up the M-Scale website, and why don't you take it from here for a moment, man, and lower your wing for us all.
All right, man. Well, you know, the M-Scale was a project that came about to help us clarify the effects and then classify the effects of marijuana for medicinal applications. And what it became clear is that a lot of people did not know how to talk about this subject. And a lot of those people are key to this subject. And so the M-Scale became a project based on this basic language that allowed us to communicate with doctors and physicians and cultivators and our city people, all based on, as we spoke with our focus groups, it became clear what we need to do. And ever since then, it's just been inspired by feedback on how we can make it better when people are trying to use it for their benefit. And so it's been a game of ping pong back and forth for people who needed it and for people who needed to understand it and for people who maybe were uncomfortable with the subject but were included in the solution. And so ever since then, from the very first beginning, it feels like the project's been very blessed, and we've had a lot of really awesome success communicating with people on both sides of the aisle. We call them both inside the bubble and outside the bubble. And frankly, we gauge our success on the people outside of the bubble, the people that are either neutral, not real interested in talking about marijuana, but as we communicate with them, all of a sudden start to relate to the medicinal effects, the benefits, and that for us is pretty humbling.
Yeah, it's a fantastic effort. We've got on the wire here tonight. We've got Troy. What's your last name?
Morris, like the cat.
Troy Morris. We've got Sam Chapman. He's Sam. You still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, Sam, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Eugene, Oregon.
Eugene, Oregon, okay. And then we've got Troy's brother, Ben. Ben's on the line, right?
Roger that. How's it going? Ben here in Corvallis, Oregon.
All right, plus one to that. And then we've got Don Land over in Thailand and Sam Morris over in Thailand, but they're not with us tonight, are they?
I don't see them. They're trying to get back online. I think they've got some technical difficulties of their own they're trying to work through, but they will be available. Just a quick note from the project in Thailand, it is going great, great guns, and being received very well. It's making a lot of traction and helping them develop a program that's very important to that community there, and we're real honored to be part of that.
Yeah, you've got an agent over there now. Is that Mr. Morris? He's over there working with elected representatives?
Yep, Sam is over there. He's working with a fellow named Don Land, who's the champion of the overall project there, who they are going to the universities and discussing about programs on how to implement a medicinal marijuana program in Thailand.
All right, all right. I think that Cliff Duvall has got some insight with that too, because he was mentioning some headway in Thailand, and Cliff is the executive director of Normal Texas in Waco, and he was giving us a heads up about some activity over there a couple of months ago, and so perhaps this is part of a continuing conscious threat of interest. You know, like I said, when you guys came to Portland last week and gave us the new glossary and gave us the overview and gave us the presentation, a new set of tools and the presentation itself, you know, just that kind of thinking is what we need within this community. There is this community has been, or this movement has been, reclaimed through blue-collar efforts, through a grassroots effort, and there's been some growing pains, you know, and we still have a pothead mentality here in Portland, and so the tools that you're coming forward with, you know, the patient outcome analysis, the dispensary surveys, the patient surveys, the references, the visuals, dynamite, man. The timing's perfect, and so, Sam, what's your involvement with the M scale? I know that that you're a face head, and I've seen some of. I think I caught a radio segment with you and B. Kyle on the wire. But what's your two cents on the project?
Yeah, you definitely did. Billy Kyle and I did a couple public statement announcements, or public service announcements, rather, for the Meta 74 campaign. I first started getting involved through the SSDP chapter that I have at the University of Oregon, Students for Sensible Drug Policy, and from there kind of got honed in on the Measure 74 campaign as the college outreach coordinator. And after the Measure 74 campaign, Troy and I started talking, and I really started to see and share the vision of InScale. And ever since, we've kind of just been plugging away. My focus is more in the policy area and networking. I guess my number one goal is to get other students involved, you know, whether it's getting them college credit for the work they're doing, or just out of the activist passion out of their hearts, you know. We find all different kinds of people, and, you know, one of my jobs is just honing the students, you know, bring the youth and the energy that they have to the project.
Excellent. Are you on the Skype? Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, no, I'm on my phone at the moment.
Okay, you're on your phone. So this is, again, to our listeners out there, this is a test drive, and myself, I'm on a headset using Skype, and we're going to be upgrading our Bluetooth headsets and going on the live G-Wire G4 Plus and bringing it to you as clear as possible. I know that there's another offshoot of student interest at the Evergreen College, and there was a couple of brothers that showed up to the I-74 celebration campaign. Are you in touch with the Evergreen community at all, Sam?
Are we talking about Evergreen, Washington?
Yeah.
You know, I'm not. Are you referring to a Students for Sensible Drug Policy chapter, or just some youth that came from that area, or...
I don't think they have a chapter formulated yet, but there's a couple of brothers that are definitely on the move with developing content and some media, and I've been keeping in touch with them, and they promised to resurface after the so-called New Year, so we ought to be hearing more about them. That's the university that Dr. Arguez taught at for some time, and he planted a great deal of creative contribution into the social fabric up there, and painted a beautiful mural at the Capitol, and so the creativity that comes out of the Evergreen College and that social fabric is of interest. So we'll be hearing some more from those folks. We got Ben Morris on the line too. Ben, you came up with your brother, and you were basically ground crew, and you and your brother have been fleshing this system out and working together to deliver the goods, right?
Yeah, you know, it was a system that we started putting together about a year ago, I think, wasn't it? And we had started immersing ourselves into the cannabis culture, and we realized relatively quickly that everybody had a lot to say and they had an important message to communicate. But it seemed like people weren't effectively able to communicate because even though they were kind of saying the same things, they weren't really getting the point across, whether it be a patient expressing their needs or a grower expressing their capabilities. There just wasn't a middle ground. And a lot of, you know, industries have jargon or standardized communication models. And so we felt that there was a lack there and that we could come up and actually talked about the need of effective communication, because without being able to communicate your message, it's, you know, it's pretty redundant to even try. So that's where we felt our contribution might be able to come, was being able to lay down some groundwork to let physicians and caregivers and patients and cultivators and providers kind of all speak the same language and really start getting communication going.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what's coming out of it, and you hit the nail right on the head. You know, we're in recovery as a culture, and of course we're at odds with the time, it seems. You know, time is money, and it's very difficult to establish a framework of reference and intelligence when we've been hammered by the drug war, by prohibition, by Class One federal associations, and all of the other counterintuitive, counterintelligent efforts, like the most recent Willamette Week attempt again to demean and to dupe us into dysfunctional social situation that they can benefit from by keeping us, you know, at bay and possibly utilizing the momentum that we've gained to bring in federal regulation and basically take back what we've been fighting so hard to regain. So I think M-Scale is right on time.
Well, you know, we really feel real blessed with the project. I mean, it's been it seems like we've had a really amazing reception with people. One of our big focus that we keep in mind is that people have a lot of really important messages to get out there, and if we can play a small role in helping to establish a receptive ear, then great programs are going to be seeing a lot of daylight. And people are going to have a lot, or, you know, it's going to be difficult to put bad information in front of people and have it, you know, blindly accepted, because people will understand the subject.
Yeah.
We talked with physicians and who obviously have a background with cannabis. And when we first start talking with them, they're real reluctant. They want to kind of play a different role. And we can go in and have a heart-to-heart kind of conversation with them, maybe through a training, whether that be representing a patient who's having some difficulty talking to them, and lay some groundwork and let them open up and start actually having real dialogues about the medicinal. And it's really, really humbling to see what happens when people start communicating. And you know, a lot of the things that people tell us after using the M-Scale, the program that we're putting together here, blows my mind. You know, I've never been in a situation so many times where people are so happy that you're there, and that's inspirational.
Yeah, to say the least. You know, one of the things that caught my attention was the fact that you were integrating medical terms and medical some of the medical scientific approaches, and so I heard some of that when I first caught wind of M scale, and it made a whole lot of sense. And I thought to myself, well, you know, it would have to develop that way. It would have to be formulated through those existing terms. And so I suspect that there's going to be a quickening of the application of the system, and that we're going to see more doctors who have been primarily focused on research and development and going after a different segment of interest and of support in terms of financial grant dollars and these types of things, who are going to be more attracted to the system. And so it's definitely a time to clarify, classify, and start communicating along these lines. And you've got six specific channels. Why don't you lay that out for us, Troy, and give us an overview of those channels?
They're important. The first thing that we found with the application of establishing a common language that incorporates the understanding of what to expect from the medicinal marijuana and what is outside of what it can do. When we started communicating that, the very first thing when you start working with somebody that's maybe opposed to the subject is that it's a natural tendency to kind of ask people to put somebody else's shoes on. You know, can't you put yourself in so-and-so's position so you can understand where they come from? And, I think the honest answer too often to that question is no, people just can't do it. They don't want to do it, especially if it's a subject that they're uncomfortable talking about. They cannot know what it's like to live a life with fibromyalgia if they don't have it, right? They don't know what it's like to go through chemotherapy if they've never gone through it themselves. And so we decided to, instead of asking people to be more understanding of other people, we decided to scrap that approach on like the first or second day. And we decided to take on a way, let's make our project smart enough to meet each group where they are. Okay? Let's be smart enough to create a program that doesn't ask anybody to put on somebody else's shoes or to understand them, because our objective is not for people to put on other people's shoes. Our objective was for them to understand and to ask questions. So that's the idea of a channel. We basically started mapping out all the different stakeholders in the medical marijuana program, from people that are obvious, like patients and their cultivators, but also people that are not so obvious, like the people who are crafting or not crafting policy, people who represent organizations that you have to deal with whether you want to or not, and that there's all these different groups that are important. And so that's the idea for the legislators. We take the entire subject. I'm sorry, this is the purpose for the channels. We take the entire subject and we help communicate the aspects of the subject to those groups. So, for example, patients, which is kind of an obvious place to start here, have a medicinal preference. They have a series of effects. They have a series of results they're trying to look for with this medicine. And so they're interested in, one, communicating what they want. They're interested in being able to assess themselves or with their doctor or with their cultivator, the outcome or their impact that they're having. And they're also interested in doing it quickly because, they are a patient, and to expect them to spend a lot of time with things that are complicated is often difficult if you're in pain or if you're, trying to deal with the effects of chemotherapy or, with fibromyalgia people, they call it the fibrofog. It's hard to be a patient. And so we have this group of people we wanted to know is, what do you want? And then we have cultivators who, in the M-Scale project, are the only people who bring solutions to the table. Everybody else has challenges or facilitates a solution, but the only people who have the solution are cultivators. And so in the M-Scale project, what we wanted to know is, what does their solution look like? What will it do? What can you expect from it? Statistically, what's going to happen? It kind of opens up as you saw in the presentation, this is a pretty complicated subject, but we try to make it simple enough to be able to get in one sitting. We want to be able to show and work with cultivators on all of the kind of tertiary aspects about, you know, consistent supply, consistent medication, understanding what they have, looking at what they need. And so we start tying patients with the demand, the medicinal aspects or the medicinal performance demand, and the cultivators who are supplying the solutions, and we start having them communicate. Patients then can have expectations, and cultivators have goals to be able to meet, to be able to help solve those needs. Now, we happen to be in Oregon, which is beneficial because cultivators are here are tied to patients. And a lot of the patients that cultivators work with are people they care about. And so this was a great model to spring from because cultivators were trying to meet certain targets because the person that they were growing for was somebody that they were trying to help. And my background, one of the places there is organic synthetic chemistry. I was did HIV research. And what they were doing, cultivators were doing, is along the lines of university research.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we started getting a healthy relationship between patients and cultivators, physicians started jumping in. And we created the physician channel so they could start doing detailed metrics of the impact the medical marijuana program has on the patient and tools.
Yeah.
They could use to educate their patients. It also allows them to be an expert in this subject without knowing all the strain names. And then with the physicians working with patients with outcomes, dispensary professionals could start looking at the big picture things, like different services and tools that they can bring, helping patients think out of the box and find medication, right? So in the states where that's possible, we can take and empower dispense professionals to be the go-to people for patients who need specific things. And then with legislators, we could then roll up the metrics of all of this and start showing them that medical marijuana patients in the states that they exist save the state money, right? Millions and millions of dollars every year, unasked. When we started looking into those metrics, we were blown away. And the other thing isn't that the patients value their life with medical marijuana far beyond their life without it. They take less prescriptions. They see the doctor less often, right? We were seeing people that were seeing the doctor 10 and 20 of times a year who now see doctors 2 to 3 times a year, having, you know, 20-plus specialist visits where they're seeing 6 or 7 specialists at top dollars on the state budget who now see specialists once every 2 years.
Yeah.
Right? So somehow medical marijuana is creating win-win-win-win-win-win situations, and nobody knows about it. So we created a program called the POPE to eliminate that. And as an example of how to...
Right on, man. I'm a believer. Roll that.
The POPE.
It's... Yeah. Oh, okay. The POPE. It's a patient outcome analysis.
Point of perspective. What is it?
Yep. It's the patient outcome analysis program, the POAP.
Okay. Okay.
And
all
so
right.
What we do is we look at patients' health impacts with their health records before and after medical marijuana was in their life. And what we're finding is some pretty humbling stuff. And one of the things that we know is that if you look at the way medical marijuana has helped patients, the policy does not reflect that. So it's really unfortunate that the current decision makers do not respond to something that is impacting people's lives like this, but it's the facts.
Right.
So we can wish it is, we can wish it was different, or we can make it different. And so we decided to just make it different. So we started interviewing patients. It's a fairly lengthy, it's a 7-page physician assessment that we created for this project. And it looks at the number of times that they've been spending with their doctors, the amount of money they're spending, whether they're subsidized, because we have to turn this into information that makes sense to people who, you know, designate policy and programs. That's something that Sam down in Eugene is really helping us with, is the policy application of that. And we can turn this information into real stuff backed by medical records. And we have some pretty brave patients who are willing, now this is what is amazing, in addition to saving money for the state and doing all these things unasked,
there are patients that are willing to open their medical records because it's that important that the governor, that senators, that representatives, that their city council people see the real impact of this program. And so they're brave enough to open up some of the most confidential files they have to show people. And you know, there's another aspect that's totally humbling, totally humbling. And if we can help facilitate better policy based on data and step past my opinion versus your opinion, then I think we're going to have policy that reflects reality. And that's what we're, that's what the Pope is about. That's what part of this project is all about.
Excellent. Yeah, it's clear that M-Scale has created example vehicles, and y'all are facilitating an overall open type of architecture of communication, which really does harness the collective genius, demonstrating the true impact that that the Oregon Medical Marijuana Program, which is now into its 13th year of flowering, and its ability to truly do so and support people, you know, in a broad spectrum of interests, it's a highly visible program. Sam, do you guys have some activities up and coming or some target dates in mind that you'd like the folks out there on the blog wire to be aware of in Eugene?
Well, yeah, I mean, we're in the works of putting together a couple workshops. We just did one last night at the Eugene Voter Power Office, and we plan on doing some workshops, hopefully every week at the patient resource days on Wednesdays and Thursdays. We have yet to get a final confirmation as to what time and whatnot, but if anyone's out there that is interested, we do make sure we post it on our Facebook group, which is facebook.com/m-scale. You know, from there we'll be able to post everything. And if you don't have Facebook, I'm pretty sure we'll be able to post it on the regular MCL site as well. Is that correct, Roy?
Yeah. Right now what we've ended up doing is we've been laying a lot of groundwork for the last year, and now we are engaged in a lot of workshops. Ben is helping us out with expanding the communication. He seems to have a really fantastic way of being able to communicate with people, with the cultivators, and working workshops with there, trying to help them understand the effects that they have that they can bring to the table, and through the strain registration program that he's running there. Sam is basically helping us a big time in communicating with the legislative groups, and also being an outstanding representation for us to the public. You know, both of these guys do a real good job of communicating with people and providing the type of person you'd want to be working with no matter what your program was. And so we're real lucky to have both these guys on the team. As we do these patient workshops, one of the things we're doing is helping them communicate with their doctors and helping their doctors understand this subject so they can open that dialogue, because once they start talking, their life improves. They get to specific information. They quit dancing around the subject. They get down to talking about their health and what needs to happen. You get past this asinine argument on whether or not marijuana is a medicinal. In our mind, this is such a medicinal that it seems silly to even be arguing the fact. There's so much research. There's so much information out there that if we even, even pretend like that question is a real question, then you're basically just setting yourself up for an argument, just like if you're trying to put your two-year-old to bed and they see that the radio is on, and they all of a sudden that becomes the most important thing. That has nothing to do with them trying to go to sleep. It has everything with them trying to do is to change the subject. And so what we're trying to do is give people the confidence to be able to talk about this as a medicinal. In the Oregon law and many other state laws, it says that marijuana will be treated as medicine, and we want to try to give people tools to treat it that way. A lot of times we jump straight to the most dangerous medicine that we can think of as our example of medicine, but we all know that prescriptions range from Viagra to those dangerous prescriptions. And so we're going to treat marijuana like medicine. And Tylenol is medicine, so there's a responsible approach to it, and that's what we're taking. But we don't need to do OxyContin scares about if you, you know, that can come with use of some of the pain medications and some of the disastrous things that come from that way, from using some of the traditional prescriptions. But this is a tool just like all of the other ones. And one of the things we found is that patients continue to use their medical regimen. They just may use only what they need, and their costs go down, their quality of life goes up. Cultivators are having and are developing medicinals based on their genetics and that they have and their signature environment, which is very, very important. The effects of environment on the medicinal is as important as the genetics that they're using. The diversity that's available is staggering. And so this is a fascinating subject. We're happy to educate people, work with people, and let people know what's possible. And then tie that to expectations and tie that to patient outcomes where a physician is watching all this happen. And then we don't have a bunch of silly arguments about gateway and we don't have silly arguments about high THC percentage. And we don't have silly arguments if it's a medicinal or not. And we can just treat it for what it is. And the more that we do this, the more people outside the bubble are coming on to understand this. And a lot of those folks who were really against it are getting up in age. And they start asking questions like, do you think this would help us? And our answer there is, you know what? Here's the process. You can go talk to your physician. And that's when we know we're having an open line of communication. Is when you have somebody that you walked into that absolutely does not want to have anything to do with it, and all of a sudden they're wanting to know whether or not it could benefit their issue. And you know, the answer is it might not. Just like OxyContin may or may not be something you need. Talk to your doctor. Get your information and figure out what tools are best for you.
That's right. That's right. Straight up, Troy. I want to thank you for that because that's an excellent way of running it down. And you know, I wanted to rope it in and bring this to closure. Just know that in the future, we're going to have a much better way of producing this blog talk channel. And again, we've been volunteers for too long, and we're ready to step into a new light. And Ben, you know, I didn't notice on the M Scale site anywhere where somebody could make a contribution. You know, a little does go a long way. So if somebody did want to bring you to town or wanted to request a set of materials or make a donation, how do they go about dropping you guys some money?
You know, we do accept donations. We also, if people are in the area, we do accept donations in kind as well as office materials, things that just cost dollars and cents to be in business. Right now, we don't have a formalized system or a web presence to accept donations via automation. But if you just send drop us a line, we got contact information on the website, or send an email to generalinfo@m-scale.com. We'd be happy to start that conversation and be very happy donors.
Yeah, you got some grant dollars coming your way and money following you. I want to thank you guys again for coming out. The goal is clear, and you know, M-Scale wins for the patient, wins for the cultivator, wins for physicians helping to oversee treatments. We're looking forward to new state programs and general funding. Looking forward to the general public really supporting patients, patients supporting each other. Looking forward to the community at large flowering into a garden culture future. And I want to thank you, brothers, for going the distance. Sam Chapman out there and Ben Morris, Troy Morris. And we've got a couple of anonymous PAN agents who have yet to surface. But they're out there too, and this is the Progressive Party Blog Talk Radio. Again, thanks guys for putting up for that bandwidth issue, and we're going to work out the quinky dink. And in the near future, know that there will be a study group of sorts or a focal type of group interest, more than likely through the Human Collective or the or the Patient Advocate Network in a town near you, and you can find out more in the near future. Just stay tuned, and we'll see you guys, you know, on the light line and in between nodes.
Well, all right, peace, man. Thank you very much for having us on. We were absolutely honored, and this has been an outstanding experience. Our first radio debut, so we're pretty stoked to come on your show and be able to do spend some time with you.
Yeah. Well, again, it's a test drive. It was the first conference call, Skype wire experience. Next time we'll be able to really deploy the 21st century communication protocols so we can have eye-to-eye contact. And this week we were able to do just that and walk people through the website and the presentation materials. And so we're going to stay with that. And in the meanwhile, ham-pam-paray all the way.